Thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the Urban Sports Scene.
Yes, it is the Urban Sports Scene back for another week. It's cool. It's cool to have my homie Will T back, man. Will, announce yourself to the world.
What's going on, world? How y'all doing out there? We're back for another week talking sports again. Fans' perspective, and, you know, let's get it in.
Exactly. That's the best way to do it. Let's get it in. Dang, dude. We got to start off with stuff like this, right? Like, hey, all the time.
I think people understand what I'm trying to say.
Oh, they do. How was the weekend, man? What you get yourself?
It was
what
great.
You
get to, so. Great weekend, man. Went biking as usual. Me and the people I ride with, we rode from on the B&A trail. It's a trail that takes you from the BWI airport all the way to downtown Annapolis by the Navy Academy and rode back. So, great ride.
How many of y'all bike?
Me and four other people. So it's five black people. You know, we tend to scare people sometimes.
And we're talking, this is not like a motorcycle bike. We're talking about actual bike.
Bicycle. Riding a bicycle.
Okay.
Riding a road bike.
I remember back in the day, you was about to get a motorcycle back in the day.
Yeah, I'm still going to get one. Stop trying to clown me.
I ain't clowning you.
You are. Yes, you are. Not. You're subliminally trying to clown me. You have a joke. Hey, you're trying to slip it in under the belt.
Hey, hey, Fish, you out there ever listening? I just remember them days in Jasper. That's all I'm going to say. Those are some fun days, though, man. I must say, those were some fun days.
Nah, I missed it by one point, though. I mean, you trying to rub in an old wound, but I missed it by one point.
Hey, you were confident. You were a confident brother, man. That's all I remember back then. You were confident.
Yeah, nah, man. I got the highest grade in the class on the written test. I got a 96. I missed one question.
I believe you.
One question. But it's all good, though. I'll get it. I told myself before I hit the big 3-5, I'm going to go get the motorcycle license. So
one thing I do have faith in, Will T is not a failure. Will T, if he says he's going to get it, he's going to get it. That's one thing I do know. Will T is not a failure. Anyway, let me do a couple of reads. Let me talk about my weekend before I get to the reads. My weekend, I played in the basketball. And I'm in the basketball league. The playoffs started last weekend. We won our first game, made a big three. You know what I mean? I've been off for the whole time. I'm actually in the second game, we got blown out. I'm actually considering retiring from playing basketball.
So it was clutch. Did you hit him with the Paul Pierce? This is why y'all brought me here?
I should have.
You should have, man.
It's Fluke, though. Hit the backboard, dog.
Hey. Doesn't matter.
I hit the backboard and I fell down, flopped. I didn't get the foul call. I thought I would get that. I couldn't get
that. Oh, you got the 4-point play?
Nah, the referee wouldn't
you
get
gotta
it to
kick
me.
Your leg
I
out,
did.
Man.
No, I kicked my leg out and I fell. And he still didn't give me the call.
You got to look at the ref like.
Hey, dude. Right, I couldn't buy a basket. At that time, I was just happy the ball went in. You know what I'm saying? And then I just locked this dude down. It's funny. Like, this dude, he was getting buckets, right?
Mm-hmm.
But he was trying to muscle up folks. So then I got on him. And then he couldn't move me. So I told the ref. I was like, they kept going. So I said, ref, tell this dude right now. Like, is this 225 a muscle? He ain't moving this object. He ain't moving this. I kept telling him. Like, I told you, dude, you're not moving me. You know what I mean? How many points he scoring me? Look at this. Zero. He was scoring at will earlier.
So you were like Bruce Bowen.
Bruce Bowen?
More like Ron Artest because you were playing in the post.
Exactly.
You were like
Ron Artest.
Yeah.
I bodied him up. He was like, ref foul. Like, nah, dude. Ain't a foul when you strong like me. But yeah, we lost. We got blown out the second game on a Sunday. I'm sorry. I can't play. One, I can't play back-to-backs. That's not my style.
The age catches up with
it
you.
It does,
man.
Yeah,
your knees when you in your 30s, when your early 30s, the things you do, I've quickly come to realize the things you could do in your early and mid 20s, as far as sports and recreation, recovering fast. Your body does not recover.
You don't listen. Your body does not listen to you. Anyway, let me do some reads. Also, listen to our homies Voice of the Fan podcast show. It's at www.blogtalkradio.com/The Voice of the Fan. The show is hosted by Alex and Jeff. Great show. Make sure you check them out. Our show is also syndicated on the internet. On the internet radio station, Real People Real Talk Radio. This site is managed by our good friends from Apple G's. So make sure you visit the site. It's www.realpeoplerealtalk.com. Also, our phone lines are open, so call in. The number is 202-495-0904. That's 202-495-0904. Call in and be heard.
All right, let's get into our tradition, the pregame.
All right, real quick, I didn't talk about it because it happened after the show. Last week, Tanner Jackson, he made the team. week before last week. He got then he got suspended from the NFL because he failed another test.
He's claiming that this isn't it's not the weed, but it's he took a substance that he didn't know was a banned substance, which to me, I don't know, me personally, I wouldn't put anything, if I'm coming off of a year-long suspension, I wouldn't put anything in my body that I'm not sure of.
Exactly. I'm not believing Tanar Jackson. I'm sorry. I didn't care that he got reinstated anyway. I thought it was a waste. I didn't want him on my roster at the time, to be honest with you. But to hear him say that it wasn't weed, I can't believe you. Dude, how many drug tests have you failed anyway? Why should I believe you?
I mean, you always want to give people a second chance, this would be like his third chance in actuality. So I can understand, as a Washington football fan, your disappointment and not wanting to believe him.
But it's not even just, obviously, to be honest with you, it's probably more than three chances. I mean, three chances, to be honest, which I think in the NFL, they have some stuff that's even, I think, disclosed. If you fail a test, your original test you failed is disclosed, they don't put it out there.
Mm-hmm.
So it could be more than three times.
Yeah, I don't know what the deal is, but whatever it is, Tanar Jackson, I hope
you get
your act together.
I hope so too.
You know, you rebound and come back and possibly contribute to Washington's football team.
No, he won't come back to this team. Bruce Allen better let that go. Let it go. Anyway, down to pregame in basketball, Washington Wizards made a big move.
Huge
move. I mean, this move would have been huge like 10 years ago. Paul Pierce signs a 2-year deal with the Washington Wizards.
I like the move for two reasons. A, you didn't spend $8 million on Trevor Ariza per season, which
smart.
I thought would have been a bad investment.
Mm-hmm.
Two, you bring in another veteran guy who can give you veteran leadership and another guy who can create a shot, not only for himself, but others on the team. So you have three guys on the wing who could do that. And three, some people see it as a net loss, but I actually see it as a net gain because you have to manage Paul Pierce's minutes at this point. So this allows the door for Otto Porter to come in and get more minutes than anyone who's been paying attention to Summer League. And even though it's just Summer League, I will caution with that. Otto Porter has looked very impressive, not only from on offense, but defense. So I like it's a net-net. Plus, you only spent $5.5 million a year, and that second year is a player option. So we know if Paul Pierce puts up great numbers this year, he's going to opt out and try to sign him a longer 10-year contract. After this year, so I think it's a win for the Wizards.
I like the move because, again, you invested in Paul. I would trust the investment in Paul Pierce rather than Trevor Ariza's coming off of a historical season for himself. You know what I mean? This is a season that Trevor Ariza he's never shot that well. He's been a decent shooter, but he's never shot that well. He's always been a good defender, but on the Wizards side. You know what you're getting with Paul Pierce. This is a scorer. He's lost his athletic ability already, but he's still a scorer. You know that in the clutch, you can still go to Paul Pierce.
Yep.
And he can create, even with his slow pace at this moment.
The only thing that I think that he kind of hampers this team is, in one way, is that's when they try to, because this team likes to get out and transition and push the ball up.
Yeah.
Paul Pierce isn't the guy who's going to push the tempo of the game up. He's going to walk the ball up the court, which can be a positive because often we saw late in the shot clock that the Wizards struggled if the ball wasn't in John Wall or Bradley Beal's hands to create a shot. So, like I said, it's another guy that creates shots for himself and others. So, it's a net win for me.
So, do you think that Paul Pierce can help Otto Porter?
If Otto Porter watches Paul Pierce's professionalism, how he prepares, how he practices, and he can try to emulate some of his moves on offense. Like if he can get, because Paul Pierce is the master of when he gets the ball in a triple threat position, his footwork. So it's not a fault. Paul Pierce doesn't have a lightning quick first step, but the way he positions his feet opposed to the defender helps him get past you with that first step because his first step is slow. So if he can learn that from Paul Pierce, then he's good. But his exercise habits and stuff like that, you don't need to pick that up from Paul Pierce.
You don't. And don't be going to clubs either. Because yeah, Benzino.
Stay away from the, yeah.
Yeah, stay away from Benzino. Paul Pierce, I think, in my opinion, he can learn a lot. Otto can learn a lot from Paul Pierce. Like you said, I mean, Otto is not as athletic. He's not really that athletic. He's athletic, but not truly athletic. You know what I mean? I don't know if it makes any sense. Like, he's not like one of these young guys that you see that can just dunk over you with ease or something like
that.
Yeah,
he's not like one, he's not one of the elite. He doesn't have elite vertical. He doesn't have the quickest of feet.
Exactly.
Lateral movement. But like I said, Paul Pierce has never been a guy who's fast. Never.
He's never been fast, but he had bounce when he was younger.
Yeah, he has craftiness with the ball in his hand. Man. He knows how to get open. Yeah. He knows, like I said, to position his feet when he gets in that triple threat to get right past you.
But it's good to learn from somebody like Paul Pierce now, because Paul Pierce, as you know, as he's aged and injuries have occurred, he's learned. He's actually put more into his game in terms of like now understanding angles and knowing how to get a shot off, knowing how to get fouled. This is something that Otto Porter can take in and learn from Paul Pierce now, and add that in that he's a younger guy. That would work out for him because he's still athletic enough to do other things. So he can learn a lot from Paul Pierce in that regard. I actually posed the same question on one of my Facebook groups I'm in. Dev Dallas John says, Otto's still in NCAA mode to me. Had his red shirt year. Now it's time to shine with Ariza out. He's got to prove everyone wrong. Wiz scouting department has been up notch. Has been top notch lately. So I'm sure he'll shine.
I don't know about the Wiz scouting department being top notch lately, but
hey,
I think for the most part you were spot on.
Yeah, I mean I agree to a point. We know I'm a Georgetown fan, so I'm biased, obviously, but I think Otto's gonna be fine. I think Randy Whitman was the issue with Otto Porter getting this bad press and him not balling, this, that, and the other. So he'll be fine.
Well, we'll find out with the first 20 to 35 games of the season, because Martell Webster is out with the back end. He just had back surgery, so it's gonna take him some time to recuperate. So Otto Porter will definitely get a lot of burn in that backup three position. So we'll definitely find out.
Oh, we have our server down. Getting a server down. Connection. I see connecting.
Well, do we still record or?
It's still not. Well, hold on. Let's stop, because we can still go. We'll continue. Something, it just stopped on its own. Oh my God. Did it stop recording too? Yeah, it did. Hold on.
Okay.
Hold on. Stop recording. No. Yeah, sorry. Oh, yeah, we were already recording.
Little technical difficulties, but we bounced back as always.
As always. Anyway, so we was on Otto Porter?
Otto Porter, yeah. I was saying that we'll definitely see what he's made of this year, because he'll get his opportunity at least within the first 20 to 35 games, because Martell Webster's recovering from the back surgery he had early this summer, and we know how backs are tricky and that takes a while.
All right, speaking of, you mentioned Trevor Ariza. Do you think with the signing of Paul Pierce now, Otto Porter about to get this opportunity, and you saw how he looked the summer league, do you think that the Wizards are a better team now without Trevor Ariza, or do you think they're going to be worse?
I think long term this team is better, because you spent the number 3 overall pick on Otto Porter, and Otto Porter and Trevor Ariza, they do a lot of the same things. It's from the perspective of they're both great defenders out on the wing. Neither one of them is the best creator for himself of offense. But to me, Otto Porter has such a high basketball IQ, smart, especially playing from the high elbow area, the high post, being able to make the right pass down to the low post and on the pick and pop situations. But so I do think this team is better. And with Paul Pierce, I do I think long term they're better, and also in the short term they're better because you have another. To me, you were the missing part for this team last year was another guy that created a shot for himself and others. And Paul Pierce is that, and Trevor Ariza was definitely not that.
I think, in my opinion, they're better. They're a better team because, to me, Paul Pierce is just a better. He's a better shooter than Trevor Ariza, and the open shots that Trevor Ariza got last season. Could you imagine those shots for Paul Pierce getting set threes all day? That's something that if you give Paul Pierce a set three, you're asking for an issue because Paul Pierce is a knockdown shooter still at this age.
Not only that, imagine if the defense closes out on the set three, Paul Pierce giving you a pump fake and then be able to pull up.
Yeah, exactly.
Trevor Ariza wasn't able, which he struggled at.
Exactly, and even adding to that now, we're going to miss defensively because Trevor Ariza was a great defender. Otto Porter is a good defender, but he's not, like in terms of checking threes with lateral movement, he's not as good as Trevor Ariza was. Now, because Otto Porter can, what Otto Porter brings to the Wizards when he gets to play, you're going to have a guy with a high basketball IQ. Otto Porter is a smart basketball player. If you watched him in Georgetown, you know that's one thing. He's a very intelligent basketball player. Intelligent basketball translates in the NBA, period. It does. From college to the NBA, it translates. So Otto Porter will bring smart plays to Washington Wizards coming off the bench or whatever role he's going to have down the road. But Otto Porter, this team will be better because they'll have a smarter basketball player on the starting line or even on the bench compared to Trevor Ariza. Now, Trevor Ariza was hot, but at times Trevor Ariza didn't take the smartest shots at times. You won't have that problem with Otto Porter.
Sure won't.
All right, so also the Wizards had a signing, too. I forgot about this. They signed Chris Humphries.
I love the move.
You love it?
I absolutely
love it. I'm going to tell you why I don't like it. I'll let you talk
about
it.
Okay. For the simple fact, all right, now you let go of Trevor Booker. Trevor Booker was a tremendous hustle guy. He could hit the 15-foot jump shot. But I like this move because for two reasons. Chris Humphries is a guy who's he's a very aggressive rebounder, especially on the offensive end. And the second reason, on the post, defensively on the post, Chris Humphries plays pretty good defense on the post on the inside. And you didn't pay a whole lot for this guy. You use your trade exception, half of your trade exception.
So 3 years for
$13 million. Mm-hmm. So you use half of your trade exception for his salary this year. So I absolutely love this move.
You love an Ernie move?
Yeah. I'll honestly say I'm not the biggest fan of Ernie Grunfeld's record as the Wizards GM, but I'll never not give a man credit for making a decision that I think is a good decision. And I think this is a very good decision for this Wizards team.
Oh, man. Will T getting Ernie Grunfeld some credit. This is just great. It's a kumbaya moment.
I wouldn't say kumbaya all the way. I mean, you know, once the season starts, well, you know, I love the move now, but
you can dislike it later, right?
I have, with anything in life, I have the right to change course and change my mind.
Yeah, you're damn right. For me, I just didn't like them. I didn't like the signing. I would have rather kept Trevor Booker, younger player, hustle. Trevor Booker is a guy who embodies winning basketball. If you want a winning basketball team, that's a guy that you should have on your team.
I think Chris Humphries brings a lot of. I think he has a negative connotation around him because married to Kim Kardashian.
Oh, I don't knock him for having. Go ahead.
Well, yeah, but a lot of people who don't, you know, who's the first time they actually heard of him was because he was married to Kim Kardashian. But if you look at his numbers,
great rebound.
He's always been a great rebound, especially on the offensive end.
Mm-hmm.
He's a guy you don't have to run plays for.
Mm-hmm.
He gets all garbage points, offensive putbacks, and things of that nature. So, I mean, offensively, he's kind of limited outside of the paint. But I like the ruggedness and the defense he's going to bring to the Wizards bench.
No, he's rugged. And I like Chris Humphries in college when he played for Minnesota. So he's a guy to me who's always, you know, he's always been a decent player. He's a rebounder. You know, he's a good rebounder. I just like Trevor Booker because Trevor Booker, I thought the ceiling for Trevor Booker wasn't even done yet. And with the right team, he could have did some things. But
well, I mean, maybe this Utah team is the right team because they're such a young team.
Yeah, we'll see.
So we'll see. We'll see. I'm curious to know what was Trevor Booker's contract.
It's a multi-year deal, so I know. Okay. I didn't read up on it. It was a multi-year deal.
I really don't like to discuss people's money, but, you know, just trying to – when you're trying to
– Compare
the – you know,
to, I'm sure from what you're telling me, I'm sure it's cheaper. I'm sure Chris Humphreys was cheaper.
Yeah, because the Wizards, they're almost against that luxury tax line. So yeah, I'm pretty sure.
And if you really break it down, again, Trevor Booker's younger. He's a guy that, he's just finished his first contract.
His rookie contract. Yeah.
He's going to make more than Chris Humphreys. Like, a multi-year deal is going to be more than what Chris Humphreys is making for the 3 years and $13 million with the Washington Wizards. Let's go down the pregame. John Wall, again, has been left out on the USA basketball
team. I really don't understand this one.
Me either.
With the injury to Russell Westbrook, their prime, they need another guy that at the point guard position who gets after it defensively. John Wall does that. They need another guy who has track-like speed from one end to the next. If you're missing Westbrook, John Wall has that. Now, I understand that Derrick Rose is suiting up, but we don't know what type of condition that knee is in. And we don't even know he looks like he's in great physical shape, but is he in basketball shape? So
he was in great shape last year, coming into the season for his knee.
Yeah, so, I mean, I would have liked to see John Wall invited, because I do think he's, if you're talking about the top point guards in the league, I definitely think, he needs to give consistency, but he proved this past year that he's one of the top point guards.
My thing is that, again, Kyrie Irving, I love Kyrie Irving. He a dog. But John Wall has done more. And it comes in terms of the career. John Wall took his team to the playoffs. You can say that Kyrie Irving underachieved, because that Cleveland team in the Eastern Conference was good enough to make the playoffs, talent wise.
Yeah, I mean,
in a weak Eastern Conference.
Yeah, I mean, to me, this point, Kyrie Irving is in the same boat as Kevin Love to me.
Yeah,
a guy who has All Star potential, but isn't a superstar because they haven't elevated their team to anything.
But I can say this about John Wall. See, this is my thing about John Wall. We saw last season, the season before last, when he came back
from the injury, just how he elevated the play.
Exactly. You add this season, this season, he took that momentum from that season, and he took the team to the playoffs. He deserves consideration to be an Olympian. Like, he is one of the best players.
This is the FIBA kind of World Cup. This is like the World Cup tournament. Hopefully he gets invited to the Olympics.
But you would think he would be at least invited.
Yeah, you would think so, but.
I have a problem with Coach K with that. I think Coach K is just favoring a particular individual and not giving somebody a chance. Anyway, down to pregame, let's talk about World Cup. You mentioned World Cup. Germany won it all. Didn't watch it.
Woohoo. I was riding my bike.
I ain't watching.
I don't care.
Me either.
World Cup is over.
It's over.
Thank you.
Not going to be big in the United States. I'm sorry.
It sure won't. So, yeah. We're off that.
Let's go to boxing. Canelo Alvarez defeated Lara in a split decision. I didn't see the fight, but I heard that it was controversial.
It was controversial from the standpoint that Lara clearly landed more punches. Lara tried to box Alvarez. Some people will say he ran, but to me, what Laura did was he landed and then he pivoted. So, everyone knows that Canelo has very good power. So what he did was he would land punches and then he would pivot. So Canelo would have to reset himself because people who are in the boxing know that your power comes from your lower body, your legs. So he didn't want to allow Canelo to become stationary and get those power shots in. I'm not going to say he got robbed, because a robbery to me would be De La Hoya versus Trinidad. When De La Hoya was robbed versus Trinidad.
I'm a Trinidad fan. I think Trinidad won that fight.
But this, I don't think this was a robbery. I think that because of the way that they score fights in Vegas, which is clean and effective power punching, and whoever brings the fight to the other guy, that's what Canelo did. Canelo asserted himself and tried to come forward and bring the fight to Laura. So, a highly contested, a close fight. It was way closer than that 117-111 that the referee had. That's an absolute joke. 115-113. 115-113, you have no problem with, because it was that close.
Mm-hmm.
But as I stated, Laura was going to have to get the knockout to
yeah, you did say that. And you said it was going to be close, too.
Yeah, it was a close fight. Yeah, I did say that. So, pat on the back for me.
Yeah, yeah, you deserve it, man. I'm not lying.
But, nah, it was a highly disputed fight. And, you know, hopefully down the line, once these guys get a couple more fights, they'll go back at it again.
So, what's next for Canelo?
What's next for Canelo? They're saying that James Kirkland.
Oh, they bring Kirkland come back?
Yeah, James Kirkland's back. So
he's trained by Wolf and Wolf?
I don't know if he's still trained by Ann Wolf. I know they fell out. I know that he's under SMS 50 Cent's promotional arm. So they're saying that that's probably the fight that Canelo will have in December. And I don't think anyone would be disappointed in that fight because that'll be an all-action fight. And then May 2015 in Cinco de Mayo, we'll get the fight that everyone wants to see, which is Cotto versus Canelo. So,
Cotto versus Canelo. Yeah, that's going to be a good fight.
That's going to be a pretty good fight.
It's going to be a hell of a fight.
Yeah, it's going to be a war. But, you know, yeah.
No, it's going to be a hell of a fight. I can't wait. I can't wait for that fight. To be
it
honest.
Definitely will be.
Because I'm pro Canelo. And I'm pro Cotto, but I have so much respect for Cotto as a Hall of Fame boxer. People don't give Cotto the respect he deserves, in my opinion.
No, he's the best. He's the third best boxer of this era that he's
sure,
in.
I totally agree.
And you know, it'll be a war if and when they do hook up. Maybe they decide to fight each other in December. We don't know, and that'll be a big mega fight. So,
all right, we still got server. We have server issues, but we're taping anyway, so it doesn't really matter. let's go down the pregame. Jimmy Graham, New Orleans Saints tight end Jimmy Graham signed a 4-year deal worth $40 million, $21 million guaranteed.
I guess it's pretty fair for both sides because he's you know, NFL, which this really bugs me out, and I think that some NFL players don't get their worth because they're more focused on the per year average of their contract versus getting paid for your actual production. And if you look at his actual production, you can't tell me there's any way that Jimmy Graham got paid rightfully for his actual production over the years. 4 years, $40 million, that's an average of $10 million per year, $21 million guaranteed in the first 2 years. If you look at his numbers, he's had more touchdowns than Dez Bryant. He's had more receiving touchdowns over the past 2 years than anyone outside of Calvin Johnson. Mm-hmm. So he's one of the elite players. It's too bad that they don't get that the tight end position is kind of undervalued. And but on the plus, he does get out after 4 years, so he'll be 30 and he'll be able to sign them another big contract.
He'll live. He gets paid. He's getting paid. He's a tight end. Tony Gonzalez didn't get paid like that. He'll live.
True.
I mean, I didn't get the whole, you know, I'm a wide receiver money. I agree. You should get paid. Which I mean, in terms of your impact on the field, you shouldn't be slotted in terms of tight end. If you're a tight end, you're putting up wide receiver Randy Moss numbers or whatever you want to call it, or Calvin Johnson numbers, then yes, you should be paid like a Calvin Johnson. But I'm not going to stand here and say, like, all right, well, you should be, in terms of the franchise tag, we had Tony Gonzalez putting up, you know, in terms of catches, just as many catches as wide receivers. And it's dominant when he was with the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah, I mean, no, I'm definitely not crying for him. $10 million, an average of $10 million a year, no one's crying for him. But I think sometimes that football players, they get more, they concentrate more on the average per year. And then opposed to getting paid for your production, no matter what position you play.
That's true. But I mean, we'll see. He should come. He should have a big year. I mean, Drew Brees looks for him like often. So he has an opportunity to even outplay that contract. Who knows?
Yeah, I just wonder what the dynamics going to be between him and Sean Payton and the rest of the New Orleans Saints staff. Because you know, during that arbitration, a lot of them testified against him. Him not, you know, he wanted to be paid as a wide receiver. They were saying you're a tight end, and they had to testify against him. So I just wonder what that dynamic's going to be like.
You know, it's a business, though.
It's a business. Like I said, I'm a petty person, so I remember everything someone says about me. All right, next down. Pam Oliver is no longer the top sideline reporter for Fox after this year. The that job will go to Aaron Andrews.
Yeah.
After 20 years on the sideline.
It's kind of dirty to me.
Well, you know why.
Why? Because the whole remarks about her weave and stuff?
Yeah, I think it's that. And then, you know, a lot of people are making remarks about she's getting older and the weave and all of that stuff. But Pam Oliver is still a great sideline reporter. She has been for Fox. Aaron Andrews, they're bringing in a younger model, someone with more popularity and notoriety.
That's what it is to me.
That's all it is. If it wasn't for her being taped naked, no one would care about her.
I'm sorry. That's what it is. For me, Aaron Andrews is so overrated. She's not even that. She's not even that attractive to me. She's okay looking, but she ain't nothing special to me. Am I wrong?
No, I don't think you're wrong. I mean, a lot of people would think she's just another tall blonde.
Yeah.
So. I mean, but she does pretty good reporting.
No, she's not bad. She's not bad at her job. I'm not knocking her. I think as a sideline reporter, she's good. She's not bad. But in terms of her popularity, it all stems from that.
Yeah, I don't understand. It's all stemmed from the tape, her being taped naked in her hotel room. But
this isn't.
Hey, get it while you can.
I guess. Pervs. Anyway, the All Star game's on right now as we speak. Last night, I believe. Cespedes won his second back-to-back home run derby.
Let me ask you a question. Did you watch it?
I heard on the radio.
Okay, yeah. No, I'm not. I wasn't asking to be facetious.
No. I know. I hear you.
Yeah, I just like I don't get the attraction, the love for the home run derby. Oh. I understand everyone digs the long ball, especially chicks. But I just, you know, it's just because Chris Berman does it. And Chris Berman is, when it comes to announcing, one of the worst.
Everybody hates Chris Berman.
I don't hate him, but I just think his shtick is worn out. Back. And then, you know, with the nicknames and stuff, you know, you're trying to be Stuart Scott. You're not Stuart Scott, man. But, yeah, I just don't get why everyone thinks it's one of the better all-star game activities out of the four major sports.
Finally, we're back up recording. It took long enough. Stupid recorder. not recording, but you know what I mean, on the air.
Yeah, Jesus. it's all good.
The server. But no, for me, the home run contest, what I like about it, I love the home run contest. I grew up watching it. I used to be pressed to watch it when I didn't have cable because, you know, back then, Griffey used to be like the man when it came to home run contest. Mm-hmm. So it's always been like an exciting, I guess, like All-Star weekend for football, for basketball, the dunk contest. For this, is like the home run contest is what it is. So you get a chance to see people hit massive home runs because they juice up the baseball anyway, so it can go a little farther anyway. So sometimes when you see these guys just air it out with no throwing caution to the wind, and it's like laying out these baseballs, man, it's a cool sight to see. It really is.
Yeah, it is. But also, for all of you Yankee fans or baseball fans in general.
Yankee fans.
Baseball fans in general. Yankee tonight fans will mark the last All-Star game for Derek Jeter. What's one of your favorite Derek Jeter memories?
I don't have a favorite one, but I have one that stands out.
What's that?
It's when Jeffrey Mayer stole. We were winning the game, and Derek Jeter was at the plate. It was a playoff game. I think we'll say 96. It wasn't the wild card game. Divisional. It was divisional series. So Derek Jeter, old Yankee Stadium, goes the opposite way. Tony Tarasco's right there getting ready to catch the fly ball because it was going to be an out. So a stupid fan called Jeffrey Mayer reached over and stole the ball and cost my team a chance to go to win the
That sounds like sour grape. That doesn't sound like a Derek Jeter memory to me.
But he's the one who hit the home run. So that's what that's saying.
Well, to me, it's always it was in the – what is it? The
ALDS. It was the DSCS.
I think – It was in the playoffs.
It wasn't a championship series. It was ALCS.
It might have been the ALCS when he runs into the stands to catch that fly ball.
Not the Oakland series. I'm sorry. You're probably right. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
ALDS. I'm sorry.
Yeah. That's my favorite Derek Jeter moment, and also his 3,000 hit, the home run. You know, the anticipation, the build up, because he had been out, because he had been on the DL. And he comes back and gets his 3,000 hit with a home run in Yankee Stadium. So those are my two favorite Derek Jeter moments. But he's a class personified. one of the greatest gentlemen to ever play the game. And
I don't know him personally, so I don't know he's a great gentleman.
From all intents and purposes, just for how he comes across and he presents himself.
I know what I remember Derek Jeter from. And it's, I mean, I know what I remember, what I'm going to take in when Derek Jeter retires. I'm going to know that this is one dude who used to have game, dog. He had Jessica Alba. He had, Scarlett Johansson. That's my girl. Tyra Banks. Yeah, Tyra Banks?
Yeah, had them all, man.
Yeah, Tyra Banks?
Yeah.
Jessica Biel, too, man.
Derek Jeter got it in, man. Allegedly. Nah. I don't want to put his business out there, but allegedly.
Hey, Derek Jeter, if you did, you got the juice now, homie. You got the juice now.
But all right, we're about to head to commercial break. We're going to, when we come back from commercial break, we'll talk about the king who has the juice now in Cleveland.
His juice in the NBA. He owns the NBA.
and he's definitely the mayor of Cleveland now.
Yeah, he is. It's the Urban Sports thing.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
My life is full of statistics. Thing is, I could have dropped out of school and become one myself, but I didn't, because I had people that believed in me. Here's another statistic. 7,000 students drop out every school day. That's one every 26 seconds. It's time that students know that we believe in them.
Inspire a student and share your message of support at boostup.org.
LeBron, he's coming home.
He's coming home. Yep, absolutely
tell
right.
Tell the world he's coming.
He home. Already told the world, but we're late. As usual, but it's all good. We're back from commercial break. We have a couple reads before we delve into NBA talk. You can listen to our show by visiting our official Urban Sports Scene website at www.waleo.podbeam.com. Waleo is spelled W-A-L-E-O. We're also on iTunes, Twitter, and Facebook. Just search Urban Sports Scene. If you have any questions or comments, just email us at change.da.game6@gmail.com. You can also listen to us on the Sports Crib podcast show on Thursday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Just visit www.blogtalkradio.com/WC Steeler Fan. The show is produced by West Coast Steeler Fan. Also, we're opening up the lines for our NBA talk session. Please feel free to give us a call at 202-495-0904. That's 202-495-0904.
Well, let's just get into it, man. LeBron James chose Cleveland over Miami. 2-year deal worth $42.2 million.
Yeah, he, I can't say it was unexpected, but it's definitely not something that I thought he was going to do, just because. And he showed that he was a bigger person than me.
Bigger person than me, too.
Yeah, because me personally, after that scathing letter that Dan Gilbert put out after LeBron decided to leave to go to Miami, that not only attacked him, his professional work ethic, but attacked him personally, and to me had undertones of racism in it.
There you go. That's my issue.
Yeah, it had undertones of racism and ownership in it. I don't think I could look Dan Gilbert in the eye and make his franchise more valuable. But LeBron, like he stated in the letter, he's doing it for bigger reasons than himself in basketball. He's doing it for a depressed area, which is Northeast Ohio, Cleveland. He's doing it to bring hope back to that, to bring back hope to the community and show people that you don't have to leave Cleveland to prosper. Even though he did leave Cleveland and came back. But, no, I understand all the reasons for doing it. You know, you always want to have your family close to you, and his family, for some reason, loves Akron, Ohio. So I respect him, and it'll be interesting to see how this plays out on the NBA landscape.
I have an issue with LeBron going to Cleveland. It's not because of the team. I think the team is, to be honest with you, is better suited for him. To do damage in the Eastern Conference with what was going on in Miami. I even think the coaching probably would be more improved, too, in Cleveland. I just have an issue with the owner. I mean, anytime you have a man that came out and said that You know, he's going to apologize now because, you know, you're what's going to change his organization to for the better. So he's gonna change his mind. He's gonna apologize. He's gonna grovel. He's gonna say, LeBron, I'm sorry. But when you're mad, see, my thing about it is when you're angry, the truth comes out. You know what I mean? Like, to a point, it may not, you've probably tried to hold it in, but when you're really, really angry, sometimes, yeah, it's to the extreme, but some of your true feelings come out. And with Dan, when Dan Gilbert said about LeBron some odd years ago, in my opinion, those are things I can't forgive until a point where I'm going to come back and play for you. I can't play for you.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. Like I said, but he said he's doing it for other reasons that are bigger than him, bigger than Dan Gilbert. So I think on that perspective, I think he sees and gets the bigger picture because he knows that this game that he plays and he's been fortunate to make a living and make a lot of money off of is bigger than him. It's about giving hope and putting breath and life back into Northeast Ohio. But like you, I definitely wouldn't have gone back and played for Dan Gilbert. I can't look him in the eye and know that he's sincere, because if he was sincere after that letter went out,
he would apologize to me off the bat.
He would apologize, but now because you want something, because I can help you, it's insincere, and I would have had a problem with it, but I see why he's doing it, and kudos to him. Like I said, from that perspective and aspect, he's a bigger man than me because I wouldn't have done it.
Every dunk, every stadium I fill, every jersey I sell, is going to help put money in that dude's pockets. I'm sorry. I can't reward him.
Yeah, I can't do it either.
That's my issue. I can't reward him.
Yeah, I think last week we had the conversation on, you know, I think that, you know, because of how LeBron has carried himself off the court with being his own boss as far as branding himself and putting himself in the right situations and right deals, and also, you know, getting together that situation in Miami where those three guys came together and won two championships, went to four straight championships. It would be, you know, what he's putting forth, it meant a lot more to me for him not to go back to Cleveland for the simple reasons of, you know, he showed that he was in charge of his own destiny, his own career. But kudos to him. Like I said, I wouldn't have done it, but you know, for family reasons, everyone, you know, his family wanted to go back there, and you know, I wish him the best, except when they play the Knicks and the Wizards, and you know, it'll be interesting to see how this plays out. What I definitely would be definitely interested to see is how he elevates Kyrie Irving's game.
That's what we want to see.
Does he help him take it to the next level?
All right. Speaking of the Cavs, let's talk about the Cavs. You know what LeBron's going to bring to the Cavs. Does he make the Cavs the best team in the Eastern Conference?
Does he make them the best team right now?
Yeah. In the East, not the West.
No, in the East, I'll definitely say they're top three.
All right. I'll go. Name the other two teams.
I go, if Derrick Rose is healthy, Chicago's number one with Pau Gasol and a healthy Derrick Rose.
Uh-huh.
Number two, I'll jump out there. I'll go to Wizards. I think the Wizards are probably, there's a possibility they could be the second or third best team in the East. I really think so. I really do think so. Just because the East is that bad.
Oh man, the best player in the world is going to Cleveland.
Yeah, and then I have to say
with more talent than he had when he left. He's actually a legit player.
Well, this is the thing. A, we don't know about the system that David Blatt's going to put in. This David Blatt's never coached in the NBA before, so we don't know how that's going to work out.
He made Mike Brown into a good coach.
Well, not well.
He made Eric Spoelstra like he's a good coach. Oh, Eric Spoelstra, you will be exposed. I want to thank God for this. One thing I want to do, I want to say is thank you, God. Truth be told, this is the only good thing about LeBron leaving Miami.
Okay,
Eric Spoelstra will be exposed for the coach he really is. I will be so happy for folks to see that this dude was living off of the greatness of LeBron James. LeBron James is a coach maker. He's a coach maker.
And then three, we don't know, will the other players around LeBron elevate themselves? We don't know if Kyrie Irving, we don't know how that's going to play out, that whole team dynamic. You got Andrew Wiggins, who everyone's saying is the next LeBron. We don't know, will it be
next LeBron.
that's what people are saying. I don't think so. I think anyone
they said
who's
that earlier. They said they don't say it anymore though.
So it'll be interesting. You know, I definitely say that Cleveland has a chance to be at least the second best team in the East.
All right, so this is the reason why I think Cleveland automatically is going to jump up to number one.
Okay,
they have things that they just have elements to their team that's it's deeper now. It's even deeper now. I believe in true greatness. If you're a player like LeBron, it has to work. And what I mean by that is, it's not like you're playing with Kobe Bryant. You're not playing with Melo. Melo, Kobe Bryant, though they do one thing excellently, and they do it to the best of anybody's ability. They're scorers. Scorers can't really build your game. Can't really, in my opinion, 9 times out of 10, unless you understand the game of basketball to a certain level. Scorers can't always bring the role players up to their level because they're
Jordan
scorers.
Did.
Jordan brought what? Phil Jackson did. Scorers.
Jordan did.
Not to my opinion. Not in my opinion. I said, okay. I didn't say everybody. I didn't say all. I said
okay.
Certain.
All right.
All right, can't bring everybody to their level. You know, Allen Iverson did it once. So you can't always do it, all right? If you have a bad team, bring it to your level. But a player like LeBron, a player who does everything, who facilitates the basketball, who's all about playing defense and offense, rebounds, does everything you need to win games. Players like LeBron will always get players to play for him. For instance, so LeBron, if you look at, like, if I play with, like, for instance, we playing street ball, right? And I'm a dominant, and I can score on this individual at will, right? But I'm always trying to get you involved. How are you going to play? You're going to play extra spirited, because you know, like, oh, I like playing with Wally, because Wally, even though Wally can fry this dude, Wally's always looking up, trying to get you involved. People like LeBron, ballers like LeBron, will always get their teammates to play at a high level because he's always going to involve his teammates. That's the problem with Kyrie Irving. That's the issue with Kyrie. Kyrie's problem on that team was he felt himself a little bit too much, and to a point where people were like he was neglecting people like Deion Waiters, who was pissed. That's why him and Deion Waiters never got along. LeBron's now the leader. LeBron takes over that role. Kyrie will follow suit because LeBron is that dude. This team has bigs to compete with Chicago, with Virgil. You got Thompson. You know what I mean? You have Wiggins, who right now Wiggins, in terms of as a two guard, because he's going to play the two. Wiggins is a defender first right now. He doesn't have to be a scorer. Wiggins will be a good defender. He's going to be a good defender. You have the elements to have something special with LeBron on that team.
Fair enough. But the one thing that they are missing is shooters. They don't have any.
Oh, Mike Miller's coming.
Huh?
Mike Miller's coming.
Okay.
Mike Miller's going to come. Mike Miller is coming. Like, LeBron's already talked. Like, Mike Miller's probably going to come.
All right, but
unless he stays in Memphis. He'll
still need another shooter, though.
Ray Allen, they talking to Ray, too.
Yeah. Okay, I mean,
if they get Ray Allen, well, I do agree with you. They do need some shooters.
I think that's one of the biggest things, outside of not having his first tenure in Cleveland, outside of not having another bona fide superstar to play along with him, they never put any shooter. They didn't put consistent outside shooters around.
Well, I'll say this as a point guard. Kyrie Irving's a good shooter He's a good shooter, but he's not. I know what you're saying. He's a two guard knockdown spot up shooter. He's going to talk to guys. But that's one thing we've seen in Miami, though. We can admit to it. People like playing with LeBron. So the creators will come. If they're a shooter, they'll come and play with LeBron. They'll do that. Speaking of, I mentioned Wiggins. Reports are that Minnesota would like, you know, Minnesota would trade Kevin Love to the Cavs for Wiggins. Cleveland said they weren't willing to trade Wiggins. Would you make that deal?
Would I make the deal for Kevin Love?
Yeah.
No.
Exactly.
Thank you. For one, he's a free agent at the end of the year. I understand that, you know, Golden State is in competing for him also, but I'm not giving away a bunch of assets for a guy who's already stated he's walking. He said that he's walking at the end of this year, for one. For two, Kevin Love has not elevated his team any year. His team has never gotten over 500. Even though he puts up tremendous numbers that we haven't seen since Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and Moses Malone.
You know who else? Go ahead, I'm going to let you continue.
Kevin Love, he's shown that he can't put a team on his back and take him to the promised land. So I'm not giving up a first, one of the better young prospects that, you know, scouts said has come out in the last 5 years. And then other assets for Kevin Love. I'm sorry, I'm just not doing it.
I agree with you. My issue with the whole thing about Kevin Love is, like you just said, Kevin Love has never made his team turned this team into a playoff team and not even a 500 team. And then secondly to that, to add to that, Kevin Love, I mean, I added Al Jefferson did the same thing when he was in Minnesota. Not to say he put but Al Jefferson was a 2010 dude.
Yeah.
We weren't talking about training Al Jefferson for a first top tier a talent, like a first pick overall. That wasn't Al Jefferson's spot in the within the rotation. I'm sorry, with terms of getting, player value. That wasn't Al Jefferson's player value to get like a Wiggins. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
This is another comparison. Wiggins is on par to be, could be a superstar. That's his potential. Wiggins' potential, if he gets it or not, it doesn't really matter. But his potential is to be a superstar. Kevin Love's potential is not to be a superstar. He's had his opportunity to be a superstar. He hasn't took Minnesota to the playoffs. I already know he's not a superstar. Kevin Love is an all-star player. He's an all-star player. He's a good basketball player. He's an all-star player. He is not a Batman. He is a Robin. Wiggins can be a Batman. Off his potential, he can be a Batman.
Yeah, I would, to me personally, at this time, I wouldn't trade Wiggins because, A, you don't know how, I think we all know he doesn't have that killer instinct, killer mentality, but we don't know if he'll develop that playing with LeBron. For two, we don't know how him and LeBron will play off of each other. And for three, we've shown that this is a guard-dominated league now. So you need a guy who's an elite defender on the wing. And Andrew Wiggins has the ability to be an elite defender on the wing. Kevin Love, he's not an elite defender in the post. He's a great rebounder. Don't get it twisted. He's a great rebounder. He's a good passer. But he hasn't shown the ability to elevate his team over his 6 years in the league. So, no, I'm not making a trade.
And he's not a good defender at the four position. Kevin Love, too, also – to add to that, to your point, LeBron James is going to play with another Wiggins is an athletic wing. That's crazy for LeBron James. I'm sorry. And Wiggins, the sweet thing about for Wiggins, there's going to be no pressure to score or set up your own shot when you have LeBron James and Kyrie Irving. You can get buckets.
Absolutely,
you can get buckets just by running around, getting lobs, or just moving out the ball and getting yourself open for some spot up shots.
Yeah, and God forbid that David Blatt knows how to coach offensive basketball, everyone
he does.
Yeah, that he has. He coached in the Euro League. He's one of the better. Everyone says he's one of the better European coaches, and we all know the European game is predicated on spreading the ball and ball movement. So I'm not making the move for Kevin Love. Not a guy who, I'll reiterate, is a free agent at the end of this year and already has said, I'm walking. Sorry, not doing it.
I'm going to add to Will's point. I'm not making the deal because the ceiling for Wiggins is superstar potential, and Kevin Love is an all-star. If I lose out, if Wiggins leaves and becomes a superstar, I'm going to be pissed off that I kept Kevin Love over Wiggins. That's my issue.
Yeah.
And you're playing, you have LeBron James. Wiggins will get better off that alone anyway. All right. Speaking of another guy who was playing around with, well, I won't say playing around, but was highly talented towards within free agency, Carmelo Anthony. He's decided to stay with
the Knicks. Knew he wasn't going anywhere. $130 million. He wasn't giving up. He wasn't giving up that extra $30 million to sign with the Lakers, and he wasn't going to go to Chicago for half. For $60 million. I knew there wasn't a chance in hell Carmelo Anthony was leaving New York.
Chicago?
Hell no. Chicago? I didn't think he was going there. I knew he wasn't going anywhere. I just knew that the posturing was just because this was the first time he was a free agent and he wanted the attention like all the other superstar players.
So he was a media whore?
I'm not going to say he was a media whore. He just wanted to be shown some love and wanted to know his options. Just like any other married person. If you give him a free night out, they want to see what their worth is on the open market. What he wanted to do. I knew he wasn't going nowhere.
Oh, man. So I'm surprised that he stayed in New York because not surprised. I mean, when I take that back, it was for me. If it was me, I would take the money. But where Melo was, when Melo was at his career, when people keep saying he's not a superstar, in my opinion, if he went to Chicago and he would have won in Chicago, he would have been known, they would have said, okay, Melo's a superstar again. He would be known as a superstar. So obviously, in my opinion, which this shows to me, is that Melo doesn't care a rat's ass about what the people think in terms of his image. Melo's worried about Melo. And that's a good thing. You're supposed to be worried about yourself.
Absolutely. You know, no, I totally agree with you. And also, I'm pretty sure that he got a sigh of relief knowing that he did something that was almost damn near impossible. Phil Jackson was came in within his first 6 months and was able to flip the roster for somewhat, and he made some really good acquisitions.
Yeah, he did. I like Larkin.
Larkin. I like Jose Calderon.
I don't like Calderon.
I like Calderon in the triangle.
I like Early, and I always liked Hardaway Jr. I think there's good pieces.
Yeah, so you know, all you got, $40 million off of the books after this coming year.
And with Gerald Smith on the roster.
Yeah.
You don't have to get rid of Josh Smith.
Yeah, I mean, you got $40 million coming off the books just between Bargnani and $36 million between Bargnani and Amari Stoudemire after this year. So they'll definitely have some room to come in and make some improvements to that roster.
And how can they improve that roster? Who are they going to get? Like, who will they be targeting?
That's a great question. Maybe they target Kevin Love.
Yeah, they probably will target Kevin Love.
They'll probably target Kevin Love, and, you know, they'll probably...
That's a good fit.
Yeah, Carmelo and Kevin Love.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a bad fit. And then you never know who else will be open via the trade route.
Yeah.
So, you know, to me, if I were Carmelo, I would feel comfortable with the moves that Phil Jackson has made thus far. And he's shown that he's not just a great coach. He actually is a pretty good basketball mind by being able to make the moves that he's made so far.
The jury's still out on Phil Jackson, though.
Huh?
The jury's still out on Phil Jackson.
Well, okay. I mean, I would feel comfortable with him as a GM.
I wouldn't. He has this mentality, this lazy mentality to me as a GM.
No, I don't think it's a lazy mentality. If you read his book, like I told you.
I ain't reading no Phil Jackson book.
If you read his book, you would get an understanding of him more as a man.
Him and Jordan are like something to me. They're like 666. Not mafia. They're like, I can't. But we'll see. I mean, he just has that, but like that whole, even his whole, I feel like he thinks he's better than basketball. Phil Jackson. I think Phil Jackson really thinks he's better than basketball.
I don't think that. I told you, read the book. He absolutely articulates that in his book that he's not.
Oh, his book. So you believe everything he wrote in his book? Because I don't believe
autobiographical.
Yeah, they can lie. You can lie about your true feelings.
You can, but he doesn't strike me as a man that
actions speak.
I think anyone who he's ever coached has always said Phil Jackson's a stand up guy. He's a straight shooter. He doesn't come at you
sideways.
He tells it how it is.
We'll see, man. We'll see. I'm interested to see how it all pans out. If Phil Jackson's really going to do a good job for the New York Knicks. I hope he does for Melo's sake. I like Melo. I want Melo to do well. Is Melo, so with the contract signing, do you think, is Melo more about winning or he's more about his money?
Because
like you said, that money.
Nah, yeah, you, I can't speak for him. I think the signs point. No, I think the signs point that he's about his money. But the reality is, the Bulls, before he even made a decision, the Bulls signed Paul Gasol. B, looking at that Lakers roster, you can't tell me that, you know, if you wanted to win, you could go to the Lakers, not with that roster. And C, who else was viable out there for him to go to? What, the Houston Rockets?
I like the Houston Rockets.
Nah.
Carmelo? Oh, in Chicago for real. That's the team.
In terms
of tax free money, Houston Rockets have been a good move for him.
Potentially.
No state tax, I believe.
Yeah, no state tax. That's why Trevor Ariza chose chose Houston over the Wizards, because they had the identical contract, but he would have made he makes $3 million more in Houston because of the state tax.
Yeah.
No state tax.
I ain't knocking Trevor Ariza for it. I'm glad the Wizards should be happy that they didn't make that.
Absolutely.
They should be happy. Again, we talked about that. They should be happy. But so for me, I think it shows that he's about his money. Melo's about his money. And nothing wrong with that too. Again, I'm not going to knock Melo for being about his money, but I don't want to hear that, you know, he's about winning. He's not about winning this year.
Well, yeah, but they still have their draft pick. which will like most likely be a top 10 lottery.
It might next be season?
Yeah, might yeah. be a top 10 lottery pick. So you never know who they can bring in.
My thing, if Melo's 30, he's 30 years old. He don't got that much time, man. He don't got that much time. Oh, you tipping your hat to Jeter?
Yeah, I was tipping my headphones to Derek Jeter.
Oh, I'm just looking at him. That's all. I don't really care. I mean, Derek Jeter, you're a great guy, though. But I posed the same question on our Twitter page, and my man at Phil Mobb said, "Why can't you be about both?" So, do you feel Melo's about both?
I do think. I mean, he's shown that he's a little bit because he didn't take the full max, the full 130. You know, he spared them between 8 to $10 million for them to be able to make some moves over the life of their contract. Mm-hmm. So, I think he's a competitor. He's shown that he goes out and puts it on the line every night that he plays. So, I don't really get the great divide between Melo isn't about winning. Because although he's not an elite defender, but his defense has steadily improved over the years. And he goes out and he puts it all on the line.
I'm about my money. So, Melo, I ain't mad at you. Because I'm always about my money. I go to Merlin Live Casino. And I'm always about my money. Always. I went on Friday.
Oh, okay.
Won $500.
That's what's up.
You know, I'm telling you people this, too. But don't worry about it. It's deposit. So, if you see me, I'm not giving it to you. Derek Jeter in his first at bat. Leadoff gets a double. What a way to start off your last All-Star game for Derek Jeter. Good job, Jeter. You great, swell guy, you.
Class personified.
He's a biracial baby, isn't he?
Yes, he
best
is.
Best of both worlds, man. It is. Best of both worlds. Real quick, on our Twitter page, I forgot to mention this. This is about John Wall not being on the Olympic team. Not Olympic team, but the USA basketball team. At Ant... I guess Aunt Zay, he says, am I the only one that feels John Wall should have had gotten picked over D Rose? No disrespect to Rose, but he ain't played last year.
Well, I mean, Derrick Rose had already been invited prior to, it's not like you could just say, oh, you were injured. We want to renege on our invitation to you. I think that John Wall should have been invited because simply for the reason that Russell Westbrook was injured and you had a spot that you need to fill, so give him the opportunity. But it's bridge under the water now.
Yeah, it's over. Don't worry about it.
I mean, it's water under the bridge now.
It's okay. No problem, man. Yeah, I'm with you though. I think John Wall deserves to make it. I'm just a little annoyed at that whole situation, just that part, that aspect alone. But let's go to so do you think Melo, I was about to go to the next segment, but no. Do you think Melo can bring a title to New York?
You need to add another elite player around him, or all-star level player around him, and you need to add some shooters. And it's almost like you got to do the Allen Iverson model when they went to the championship with him, because Melo's such a great scorer. You need to add another all-star player, then you need to add role players, shooters, good defenders on the wing, rebounders, and he could definitely take the Knicks to the championship. That's me being totally objective, not speaking as a fan.
Oh, man, I have more Melo stuff. Let me read some of this stuff off too. Didn't even know I had more. Same thing about Melo. He's about his money. He said, not fair. My man Yada on our Facebook page said, not fair to say right now. Knicks can. You all right?
Yeah.
All right. Knicks can make major improvements until next year. So, again, Yada, I'm talking about this season. Melo about winning this season. My man Thomas Curl said, yeah, he bought his money. I don't think he's going to win anything in New York, and he isn't getting any younger. That's my thing. He's not getting younger. You can't really stall. You can't really wait
But
that
this
long.
Is the thing. There's no guarantee you're going to go to a championship in Chicago, but there's a guarantee for $120 plus million in New York.
I'm all for that money. I'm not going to carry it. I'm all for that money. And my man Troy Perry said Melo only had two realistic options, Chicago and New York, without cooperation from the Knicks sign and trade. Chicago could only offer Melo a deal for 4 years, $70 million, while Chicago would have given Melo the best opportunity to compete this season, assuming Rose is 100% healthy. That's a lot of money to leave on the table. And uproot your family. Name another player in his prime who took a significant pay cut to play elsewhere. By the way, why are we asking the same question about Chris Bosh? Because Chris Bosh doesn't matter. Does that make any sense? I mean, not to be dirty, but Chris Bosh does not matter. And what I mean by that is Chris Bosh is, we don't consider Chris Bosh an elite player at this moment, which we will discuss in the next segment. But we don't look at Chris Bosh as a dominant ball player.
I don't think people look at him like that
now. But they did back then. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, 4 years prior to that, people did. But I don't think people look at him like that now. So that's
the thing. Like, Chris Bosh isn't looked right now as an elite player. That's why we're not talking about it. But I like the question. I like the feedback. I appreciate it. But do I think – I don't know. I don't think Melo can win a championship in New York within the next 2 years. New York looks like they're gonna struggle, because obviously LeBron in that same side, unless, again, they really – New York – the Knicks really – Put a lot of talent. Phil Jackson does the job, but people are always want to play with LeBron. And right now, the Knicks to me are starting two behind right now, behind the eight ball with the talent they do have right now on the roster. Now, if Phil Jackson may know better, Derek Fisher may be a great coach, and it may work. But I still have my doubts about the whole thing.
Okay, well, let's talk about LeBron's former home, yeah. Miami. Dwayne Wade just signed a 2-year, $34 million contract.
It was a 4-year, $60 million.
It's actually a 2-year. ESPN's reporting a 2-year, $34 million dollar with a third-year option. I know that was a report early on, but they just restated it.
Okay.
Yeah, so, what was that? D-Wade's back. Chris Bosh is back.
Yeah.
They signed Luol Deng for 2 years, $20 million.
They got Chalmers back.
Chalmers back,
which is stupid.
You drafted Shabazz Napier.
Chalmers and Coles on Norris Cole on the roster. Genius.
Well, they did what they had to do.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be interesting to see how do you think that team plays out? First of all, Miami.
They're a playoff team. They're still a playoff team. They're definitely a playoff team. But off talent, they're a playoff team. We'll see how Spoelstra. Well, in the East too, they're a playoff team. What am I talking about? I'd be talking hate if I said they weren't a playoff team. It's all going to be predicated how far they're going to go. It's going to be predicated on if Dwayne Wade is Dwayne Wade. I try not to doubt Dwayne Wade. I think LeBron being gone, this is an opportunity for Dwayne Wade to rewrite his story. Obviously, people going to say a lot of people saying he's done. Everybody's saying Dwayne Wade is done, but LeBron is gone. This gives Dwayne Wade the opportunity to be flash again.
All right. Well, talking about rewrite the story in Dwayne Wade, do you think if he had to do it all over again? Because remember, he had 2 years and $42 million left on his contract. He opted out. Now ESPN is reporting that he'll have a contract for 2 years. Well, he has a play option for a third, and he signed for 2 years and like $34 million. Do you think he would do it again, knowing everything he knows now?
Yeah. Because he's gonna always be, he would be a Miami Heat.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. Mm-hmm. Why not take the 2 years, 40 some odd million? I'm pretty sure that they had conversations. I'm sure they had conversations. They saw it coming potentially. They were around him more than everyone else, and I'm pretty sure you saw the signs. Not less than LeBron is just that great of a poker player.
I'm pretty sure LeBron told Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh to hit, gave him a heads up. It's like, I'm probably going to go back home. And Chris Bosh, that's why Chris Bosh to me waited that long to.
Chris Bosh played it right.
We can talk about it. But my opinion, the reason why Chris Bosh, he waited on LeBron. I think LeBron gave him a heads up. It's like, I'm probably going to, I'm going to go to like Cleveland. Gave Chris Bosh time to say, okay, well, I'm not going, because everybody thought, initially, like, that deal was too good to pass up. And then, so, in my opinion, LeBron told Chris Bosh, like, I ain't going to take this. I'm going to probably go to Cleveland. You'll probably, and Miami was like, all right, and Miami will probably pay you the max. They're not going to pay D-Wade the max. They'll probably pay you the max. He got his max. So, there was some talk in between that. And I think D-Wade probably took a cut because he still probably wants to win, he still wants to win basketball games, and he knows that he still has to give. They still got to get players. They still have to bring players in here who can make an impact.
Yeah, and I think D-Wade made the right decision, because at the end of these 2 years, the NBA's television contract is up.
Yes, LeBron
so once
did,
you get once you get more revenue in, that means that the payroll and the cap goes up. So he signed for 2 years. Then he'll probably sign a longer term contract. That'll be his long his last contract. He might ask for the max. I doubt he gets it.
Well, but, again, it goes. I'm not going to doubt Dwayne Wade because I remember when he came back from that. You know, when he was hurt. It's a year they got. Yeah, the year before they got Beasley, he was hurt. He didn't look good. So they got Beasley in the draft. He came back and he looked like that dude. He like one of the best basketball players in the game. So I try not to doubt Dwayne Wade, especially now that there's so much mental pressure.
I think you're talking about the year he led the league in scoring.
Yeah, that's the same year. Okay. The same year. Especially when you know there's so much pressure on you to be that man because LeBron James isn't there. Sometimes you know that's a good thing for certain people. LeBron James isn't there. He got his first year with LeBron. It was still a fight, you know. It's Miami, still kind of my team type thing. You know, LeBron's the better player, but it was still a little fight. You know, you saw it in the finals a little bit. It wasn't like a negative thing, but Dwayne Wade knew, like, hey, I'm still that dude. And you know, what I mean, you still got, I still deserve my touches. And eventually, as LeBron got more confident, you could see Dwayne Wade just taking that secondary role. Now that's gone. Dwayne Wade can, you know, try to be that dude again. So there's a good opportunity. There's a chance to me that he can return to be Flash. I don't dig everybody like writing him off. Like, that's a dude that's strong-willed in his own right.
Yeah, one thing everyone's forgetting that he had from the field, he shot a career best 55% from the field, even though he didn't play that many games.
Mm-hmm.
So we see that he's a far more efficient and smarter shooter at this point in his game. So you never know. Last year, he didn't have to suit up because he had LeBron and he had Chris Bosh. Well, this year they'll be fighting more for playoff
positioning.
So, you know, more likely, I'm pretty sure that on nights, there'll come some nights where he'll definitely suit it up, whereas this year he wouldn't. So,
and that's the thing. Trying to find, because actually it was on our Facebook page. Yeah, so yeah. Okay, I'll mention it later. It's just going to be interesting to see how the dynamic of this team is going to work. Who's going to be like the star of the team? We mentioned Chris Bosh. He's on Chris Bosh, Dwayne Wade. Dwayne Wade historically has been a dominant figure in the NBA. Chris Bosh in Toronto was a dominant player, but on a bad team. Dwayne Wade was a dominant figure on a championship team. Chris Bosh on this team was the third wheel. Dwayne Wade was the guy, the secondary player down the stretch. Now, you could say that flipped a little bit in the postseason, or especially in the finals. You saw that Chris Bosh was more, in my opinion, was a guy that, you know, Miami tried to feature because they knew that he had the advantage over some of the bigs they went against. But Dwayne Wade historically has been that dude. And he, again, like I said, he was second in command with LeBron James. How has that with LeBron with Bosh getting the max deal and Dwayne Wade getting the smaller deal, who's really the star of that team?
I think Chris Bosh. I think he goes back to being the number one option offensively. Like you said, people are going to forget that 4 years ago he was the man in Toronto and averaged a double-double and put that team on his back. And I think he took them to one playoff appearance.
Mm-hmm.
Even though Chris Bosh has lost the weight and his game has changed, he was more of a stretch four this year, he still can go down to the block and bang and defends very, very well. So
he moves his feet, yeah.
Yeah, so I think, you know, they'll try to run the offense through him at the elbow. The free throw line extended, and it'll be interesting to see, you know, maybe Eric Spoelstra gets exposed as a coach, as you've always stated he will be.
Can't wait.
But it'll be interesting to see, you know, just what they do offensively and how they incorporate some of those other pieces that they added.
Because Eric Spoelstra's going to be exposed because he can't do what he did before. He can't put LeBron James on everybody. He can't overwork somebody. He's got to actually utilize his bench. He's got to say, okay, Dwayne, and he's got to rest Dwayne Wade. He has to be a true coach. He doesn't have the luxury to say, "All right, LeBron, save me." You can't have that. Which I want to see is how he utilizes Chris Bosh correctly. Chris Bosh now should have the same role he had in, like you mentioned, the same role he had in
Toronto,
where he was in the post. He was in the post. At times he would be outside, you know, stroking the J. So he has to mix up Chris Bosh's game offensively. Dwayne Wade, how are you going to utilize Dwayne Wade to a point where you don't run him to the ground, you know? Because Dwayne Wade's going to be highly motivated. This is the truth. Dwayne Wade's going to be so motivated next season because he's going to have the opportunity he gets a chance to reclaim his city.
He's, absolutely.
You know, he states that this is my city. You saw that there was a tweet out. You talking about Miami is my home, basically. But this
my
is
city, my city, home.
Exactly. This is your chance to reclaim it because LeBron took it. He took it. You know what I mean? And now it's your time to take it back. So,
absolutely.
I think Dwayne Wade has a good opportunity, a good chance. I mean, I have more faith in Dwayne Wade because obviously the liking that Eric Spoelstra has with Dwayne Wade, with that relationship they do have as like butt buddies.
not butt buddies.
I'm saying like butt buddies for Dwayne Wade to actually still, you know, play at a high level. Pose the same question. Who would be the star of South Beach? Dwayne Wade or Chris Bosh? My man Thomas Curl said Bosh by default, only because Dwayne Wade won't play all 82 games. I think that's the consensus feeling. And Kenyatta said Bosh, Wade is washed up. Again, I'm never going to say Dwayne Wade is washed up. That man has too much heart, to be totally honest with you.
Absolutely. More hair from here.
Way too much heart. See,
but now let's talk about, I think, the...
We already talked about. You want to talk about... Well, we can talk about a little bit of it.
What?
The Bulls?
Yeah. This is one of the more underrated free agent acquisitions. I think it's still a huge acquisition, but it's more underrated.
Yeah, you mentioned Pau Gasol.
Pau Gasol going to the Bulls. Just because of the way him with Noah, I think those two guys will play off of each other perfectly. Because both of them, they're probably out of the big men in the league. They're probably both in the top three or four, in the best passing post players in the league. Pau Gasol has a very good game with his back to the basket, you know, with Derrick Rose in the pick and roll. And then also Tom Thibodeau, he gets the most out of what he had offensively, and you add a piece like this, it'll be interesting to see what he could do.
Yeah, and I'll call him. You're listening to him right now. We're talking about the Bulls signing of Pau Gasol. Number's 202-495-0904. That's 202-495-0904. Yeah, I'm a fan of the signing. No, like you mentioned, Noah and Pau Gasol, the passing, the intelligent basketball from your bigs is going to be something special. If you have a healthy Derrick Rose, what I expect is going to be something special. And even to be honest with you, the bench is even deeper. You got you see how what Snell is doing.
You got Kirk Heinrich. You got Dougie McBuckets.
I don't even want to talk about that. Dude is raw, man.
Yeah. Then you have Jimmy Butler. You got Taj Gibson.
Taj Gibson, which I'm interested in knowing what they're going to do with Taj Gibson.
You never know, they might add a piece or two, another shooter in the offseason. So it'll be interesting. That's why I said I think Chicago just coming in.
They're a strong team.
They're a very strong team. This might be the team, you know, with like in 2011 and 2012 when Derrick Rose led them to the best record in the league.
It's just going
to
be one, Pau Gasol, how is he going to defend his position? Because Thibodeau's a great defensive coach.
Yep. But he'll definitely find a way to mask that.
Of course. I just like the same. If he had got Melo, I thought he would have did the same thing. I'm a fan of the signing with Pau Gasol, but I'm a fan of it. Like you stated, just having two bigs who are just as intelligent as Pau Gasol and Noah is going to be something special. And I think that length is going to be an issue, though. Regardless of anything, you can't coach height. And Pau Gasol teaming up with Noah, that's height.
And then also you got the guy from Europe who they said is like the next great European star that's coming over and signing with them. He was a free agent. I'm not going to try to butcher his name, but he was drafted in 2011 in the second round. He's coming over this year.
He's
going
to be the next Thurston Whiskey?
Something like that. The next great European player in the NBA. So
they always hype some European player. Sound like a racist right now. So with the signing of Pau Gasol, what's going to happen to Taj Gibson? Should they try to trade him? What's up with that?
No, I think he's still your backup four.
He was playing such a high level as a starter. If I was him, I'd be a little annoyed.
I would be annoyed, definitely. But I still think the way Tom Thibodeau, unlike other coaches, knows how to use his bench and is pretty good at with his rotation. So he'll find a way to feature Taj Gibson with that second unit. You know, make him one of the he'll probably sell him on being the main focus offensively of that second unit. So it'll be interesting to see. Like I said, I'm always excited for NBA basketball. I can't even this year. I'm even more excited. So,
and I know you've been excited for summer league too. You've been
absolutely.
I've been getting texts. Will's like, "Hey, Wally, you seeing this game?" I'm like, "Nah, dude, my cable broke, but still, I'm gonna try to see it somewhere else."
Yeah, but when we come back from commercial break, we're gonna talk NBA summer league. I know you all surprised about that, but yeah, it's actually been some very good summer basketball has been played out in Vegas in the summer league. So we'll discuss that when we come back. It's the Urban Sports Scene
for ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
This is Wally Akinso from the Urban Sports Scene.
Earlier today, I had a sit-down interview with Jim Gray, which focused on a hard decision that I had to make.
How many people know your decision right now?
In all realness, Jim, that's a dumbass question. I should smack your ass right now.
One hand or two hands?
If you keep playing, I'm gonna smack you with two hands.
When did you decide?
The idea of me smacking you came about 30 seconds ago.
You still a nail biter?
Don't worry about my nails. They won't be in the way when I smack you. Don't worry about it, all right?
We've had everybody else biting their nails, so I guess it's time for them to stop chewing.
Jim, if I was you, I wouldn't worry about everybody else.
The answer to the question everybody wants to know, what's your decision?
I smacked Jim Gray.
That was the conclusion you woke up with this morning.
Yes, Jim, that was the decision that had me tossing and turning this morning. It was hard, but I felt that my left and my right would make an impact on your face. And I was right.
Why?
Why? That's why. You think you know? You have no idea. You don't know the decisions that anybody within the USS has to make.
Yeah! For the first time, it's going down history, baby. New 3-6 Mafia, featuring 8-Ball and MJG, Young Buck.
It's the Tennessee thing.
We gotta stay.
Fly, till I die.
Hey, we're back from commercial break. Like Will said, we about to talk summer league. Let's go straight into it, man. What happened when
Friday night we had the opportunity to see the first two overall picks in the NBA draft go head to head, which Andre Wiggins and Andrew Wiggins and
Jabari Parker.
To me, neither one of them impressed that much. Andrew Wiggins, when you saw him play, you clearly saw why everyone said he didn't have that killer instinct, because Andrew Wiggins has a lightning quick first step, and he would beat his man off the dribble with that first step, but he would always do the fallback jumpers, the step back jumper. He would never. There were opportunities where he could have gotten into the lane and created a shot for himself or others, but he always did that step back jumper, which to me was really annoying. But he did show that elite athleticism and defensive presence out there. Jabari Parker, there was some, people were saying that, he was out of shape and wasn't in the best condition, specifically with his workout with Cleveland.
Because he didn't care.
Yeah, because he didn't play. He didn't want to go to Cleveland. Yeah. I could see what people said, that his conditioning wasn't top shelf, because just seeing him play that first game, at the end of the game, he was huffing and puffing.
Yeah.
And then physically, his build, he looks kind of like Paul Pierce.
Yeah.
Looked like he doesn't,
spotlight
nutrition and working out. And I'm not here to criticize anyone's body.
Just don't be going to the clubs, man. You talking about Paul Pierce. Just don't be going to the clubs, man.
But no, clearly we saw if you paid attention, you saw why everyone's so intrigued by Andrew Wiggins, just because of his sheer athleticism and some of the things he can do on the basketball court. And we saw that even though Jabari Parker, he looked like he didn't trust any of his teammates and wanted to shoot it every time he got the ball. But we saw glimpses of what both of these guys have to offer. You know what I mean? It's just their first organized game in the pros. But we saw glimpses of what they had to offer. And, the future's bright definitely for those two young men.
I saw a play by both parties. Saw one play by Jabari basically taking a step back. I want to say that not a half fade. To me, it was a half fade. Was taking this man, then did a turnaround fade. Pretty shot, man. Nothing but a net. I was like, good God, this kid is so skilled offensively. Then I saw Wiggins do a spin move and go up two hands strong with a dunk. This was last night. Spin moves with a dunk. I was like, good God, that just freakish. That was just so much athleticism. And it was smooth, though. You know what I mean? So it just made me think, like, all right, maybe he can improve on that ball handling skills a little bit more, and he can be the player that people think he can be. Because his jump shot isn't bad to me. His jump shot is nice, actually. He just takes difficult jump shots. It's a difference. It's not a bad shot. when it's under control. But when he tries to shoot, like you said, the step back jump shot, you know, make things difficult when it's right there for you, that's when his J tends to, the percentage of his jump shot goes down. But I see potential in Wiggins. That's why, again, that's why I think it's ridiculous for the mention of Kevin Love for this kid is dumb. I think Jabari Parker, again, will be a 18-20-point scorer in this league.
He'll definitely, I think his first year, Jabari Parker is definitely an 18, 19, he might even, he's not going to average 20. He's definitely
it's a bad team. You never know.
Well, yeah, you do have a point.
Yeah, it's a bad team.
So, you know, he's definitely a guy that's going to average in the high teens, probably like 18 points and 7 rebounds per game. Jabari Parker will. But both of those guys showed a lot of promise, if you can say that, in a summer league pickup game.
It's hard to say in summer league, but you know, because you're not going against real pros. But some guys want you to make the team. But there's a lot of pressure to produce. And to me, they've shown a lot of ability out there on the court. Let's go into a guy that I like, a rookie I like. I call him McBuckets.
Dougie McBuckets. Doug McDermott.
31. Dropped 31.
Yeah, he struggled in his first game in the summer league, but he rebounded with a great 31-point game. Jump shot looks lethal.
Smooth, man. Turnaround jump shot.
Yeah, he definitely know that he has a high basketball IQ. You know, he gets himself free off of picks, and you know, when he's in a pick and roll situation, makes pretty good decisions with the ball. Defensively, he's going to struggle because he doesn't have elite foot speed. In the NBA, especially when he's out there guarding on the wing.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, as a spot-up shooter, Chicago's done a great job in drafting him, and he's definitely going to be one of those guys that's going to be around for a long time.
He's a scorer, man. He's a scorer.
And he's a coach's son, so he knows how to move without the ball. He knows what to do to get himself and his teammates open.
You said it right there. He's a coach's son, so he knows basketball. And you know, if you look at Thibodeau, he's about structure. Obviously, being a coach's son, you're about structure. McDermott is going to produce. And, again, to play with a guy like Derrick Rose who's going to take all the pressure off of you, you don't have to be the man. You don't have to be the man. And, obviously, again, you mentioned Pau Gasol and Noah. These are guys who are smart and know how to find their shooters, know how to find the open player. McDermott can be very successful in this team. I'll give Chicago credit. They're giving Derrick Rose some help. So when he comes back, he may not be 100% off the bat, but they're going to give him time to be 100%.
Absolutely, man. Let me ask you a question. Are there any other guys that you saw in the summer league that have impressed you? I know we talked off the air about one guy, Otto Porter, who's, you know, over the first couple of games. You know, you've always stated that Otto Porter's a good player.
Yeah, of course.
He didn't show that last year, and that might be – you know, for two reasons, the injury, coming off the injury, and
Coach Whitman. He's a jerk.
I'm not going to go that far.
I will.
Otto Porter's definitely a guy that's impressed. Anyone else you've seen that's looked good in the summer league?
Let's see. Who do I think looked good in summer league? Oh, Nick Stauskas from Michigan. I love the way he's playing. I love the way he plays basketball. I liked him in Michigan, though. I think he scored 15 about a couple nights ago. I think it was last night or two nights ago. He scored 15. Was knocking a three ball. I'm a big fan of his game.
A guy for me that's looked good, Schroeder from Atlanta, the point guard they took last year at number 17. He's looked good. And then Anthony Bennett has surprised me. He looks like he looks in shape, looks ripped. He said he went out and he hired a personal chef. He's had a lot of his his nasal congestions are gone. I mean, nasal problems and respiratory problems are gone. He looks like a guy that's actually going to contribute in a big way for Cleveland this year. You know, the pressure isn't on him anymore because of, you know, he was the number one pick last year, so he felt that pressure. But when you got LeBron and then he's healthy now, then you got Andrew Wiggins, the spotlight's going to be on him. I think Anthony Bennett's going to be a guy that's going to shock a lot of people, and he's going to come in and contribute in a big way.
I posed the same question on the Facebook page. My man Mike Sutton said Julius Randle. I love Julius Randle.
Julius Randle's looked pretty good. He's actually shown something that I didn't see a lot out of him at Kentucky, which is playing with the ball out on the wing or, you know, in an immediate post, the high post, and getting towards the basket. usually in Kentucky, everyone, you know, we remember him as being like a grindhouse.
A Broad Street bully.
Yeah, Broad Street bully, just beating people up on the box. But, you know, he showed me his first couple of games as a Laker in the summer league that he has the ability to take people off the dribble and get to the basket.
Totally agree with you. That's what I've been very impressed with him. My man, Elder Thomas said he's loving Snell.
Tony Snell. Tony Snell's looked pretty. He's looked pretty good. You know, once again, he's a second year player playing in the summer league.
So your confidence should be high.
Yeah, so his confidence should be high. He's one of the leaders of that summer league team. So yeah.
And Ron, Big Ron, he agreed with my man Elder. He was talking about Snell as well. So
okay.
Big ups to Big Ron and Elder, man. Appreciate y'all for listening to the show, and also Mike Sutton. But for me, who else? I'm not surprised, but Tim Hardaway Jr. has had a good summer league. Clarkson, I think it's Clarkson from the Lakers.
Yeah, he's looked pretty.
He's looked good too.
That's the Missouri. The guy, the second round pick that the Wizards sold to the Lakers.
Yeah, exactly. What you gonna say?
Hey, like I told you, I give Ernie the credit, and I also
shall take it away.
I'm not gonna take it away, but you know, I do like to point out some of the erroneous steps he's made.
Ice Willie T. Is that the only? I'm trying to think of any other summer league dudes that I've been. Has Shabazz improved ever since that first game?
Shabazz Napier. He improved in the Orlando series,
mm-hmm.
in the Orlando Summer League. Mm-hmm. I haven't got a chance to see him a lot in the Miami Summer League.
Okay.
But you know.
Yeah. That's only some of the players. That's the only players I know of.
Yeah,
I'm big on McDermott though. I'm not gonna lie, McDermott gets buckets.
New Orleans Noel, he's looked very
good.
He's looked really good. He looks like he's back from that injury, and defensively, at least, he's going to be a force to be reckoned with in Philadelphia this year.
Yeah, I totally agree. I'm pretty much tapped out.
Yeah, I'm tapped out too.
All right, man, time to wrap the show up. But any part? Well, let me do my read before we do any parting shots. Make sure you listen to our show by visiting our official Urban Sports Scene website, which is www.waleo.podbeam.com. Waleo is spelled W-A-L-E-O. Podbeam is spelled P-O-D-B-E-A-N.com. We're also on iTunes, Twitter, and Facebook. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. And if you have any questions or comments, just email us at change.da.game6@gmail.com.
All right, people, once again, we want to thank you all for those of you who are listening to us live and those of you who will catch us on the Podbeam, on the podcast. We want to thank you all. Once again, you guys are the reason why we do this. Fans just like you just want to give our voice out to the people, give an outlet for y'all to talk about sports. So we'll see y'all.
Yeah, appreciate y'all. Y'all stay blessed, all right? Doses,
bitches!